to Him. Sure am thankful that when things seem so out of hand in my life, your life, we can go to God with it, and we can trust Him. How many of you believe this tonight, that He has your best interest in? I think a lot of times we take that for granted. We're used to people who do things that will benefit them. But when you're dealing with your Heavenly Father, He sees what we don't. And He is working on your behalf and for your betterment. I'm sure glad to be back in the pulpit. And I went to the doctor today, and they told me I could preach. And they told me that I couldn't cut grass. And I said, do you realize that I have about 5 or 6 acres that has to be cut? And I can't wait for more than a week. And she said, get your son to do it. So I mentioned it to Dalton, and he never said anything. Jesse called, and Jesse said, preacher, I'll come cut your grass. So I was reminded today that Dalton's birthday is this month. Jesse, I don't know when yours is, but it's going to be a good birthday, all right? Because you're going to get everything that Dalton would have gotten. But since Dalton's too busy to take care of his dad, then you're gonna reap the benefits. Dalton, we'll get him some switches or something. I don't know how that works, but anyhow. But I'm thankful. They told me I got 2 to 3 more weeks of not doing anything. I said, wow, what a blessing. And so I can't play golf. I'm not supposed to fish. I can't cut grass. I said, can I preach? And she said, oh, yeah, you can preach. It ain't no problem. That's what the world thinks about preaching right there, all right? But anyhow, well, I'm thankful the Lord allowed me to preach, all right? Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we'll be in a couple of different places tonight in the book of Ephesians and in the book of 1 Corinthians. But we'll try to look at something over the next 3 weeks and try to get our mindset towards some changes that are coming, not necessarily changes that are coming, but trying to get you involved. I put out something on Facebook, where do I fit in? And hopefully after this 3-week series, you'll find a place to fit in right here at Calvary. And so anyhow, we want to start off in Ephesians. And so we're going to look at that. And we'll be in Ephesians chapter number 2. I want to say thank you to the visitors that are here tonight. I appreciate you coming, and if you didn't get an opportunity to get by our pavilion out there, our guest services, we'd love to give you a gift, and also have a record of your visit, and we don't have to contact you if that's not what you want. We're not here to upset you or anything, but we do want to give you a gift and tell you we appreciate you coming. So if you haven't got by there on the way out, maybe swing by there, or Miss Jennifer, I don't know how you handle it. Are you doing the pavilion?
Not the pavilion, but
she'll be at the podium out there at the for the guest services, so she can get you taken care of, and you get to meet Miss Jennifer, and she does a tremendous job with that. Thank you, Miss Jennifer, for that. The steak dinner, fellas, you got to sign up, all right? Listen to me. Do not. Everybody listen real good, especially you fellas. Well, wives too, all right? You listen, all right, because you're going to need this, all right? Your husband cannot come on Monday night unless he signs up. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
All right? Because we are ordering steaks, and Jesse went by today. We got 1-inch thick ribeyes. So anyhow, I know some of y'all are used to sirloins, and but we're going to have a good steak dinner, twice baked potato, 7-layer salad, dessert, rolls, hopefully from Texas Roadhouse with all the cinnamon butter, and We'll work on it. But anyhow, we'll have a good time, and that is next Monday night. I can also tell you that there's other things that's going to be done there that is going to be worth your time to be there, all right? And so that is all I'll say about that. But you have to sign up, and you need to pay the $10. It's $10 to come, and it'll get you a steak dinner. And then, like I said, there's other things that's going to be done, all right? So let me encourage you to be here for that next Monday night, all right? Next Monday night. And then Dalton's already mentioned this Sunday with our staff and faculty from our schools. We want to be good to them. Michelle told me we had 25 that signed up. So we praise the Lord for that. And we just want to appreciate them, give them a gift bag, and I think they're going to have some door prizes for this Sunday in both services, the 9 and the 11 o'clock. So there again, I think they can still sign up. Where's my wife? They can still sign up through Sunday, right? Or through... They can. She says they can. So anyhow, if you got somebody in mind or you know somebody, continue to invite them, and we should have plenty for everybody. All right? If you found Ephesians chapter 2, say amen.
Amen.
If you haven't, all right, see me after the service, and I'll do some discipleship with you, okay? And but you can follow along on our screens. We'll be reading verse number 8 and verse number 9. And verse number 10, all right? The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved." All right. I'm saying, thank you. All right, I listen. If I'm going to have to coax everything out of y'all, this is going to be a long night, all right? "For by grace are ye saved."
Amen.
Amen. It's not anything that you have earned. It's the grace of God, all right? "For by grace are ye saved through faith," all right? You're saved by grace. That means you can't do anything. Oh, say, "Preacher, I think that you have to be this or you have to do this to be saved." And listen, let's go ahead and read the rest of the verse. "And that not of
yourself."
You can't buy your way in. You can't work your way in. You can't. There's nothing that you can do to get saved. Why? "For by grace are you saved."
Right.
How? "Through faith." Everybody with me? I'm having fun tonight. I don't care if you have fun or not, all right? It's a Baptist church. You walked into it. This is what you're going to get taught, all right? Now, if you want to find out about how to work your way to heaven, you can go to some of these other churches around here, and they'll tell you all kind of stupid stuff that's going to end up getting you in hell. Everybody all right? Because it's by grace that you're saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's nothing you did. It was a gift of God. And that gift is in a person. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's the gift. He gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Paul's not finished.
Amen.
He says, in case you didn't get it. Just in case it didn't come across. In case you're not understanding. In case it might seem like he was unclear. He says, not of works.
Amen.
Lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's how, if you're saved in this building, that's how you got in.
Amen.
Amen. You wasn't worthy. I need somebody to help me. You wasn't worthy to get in. There's nothing about you that is appealing as far as man would be concerned. But God, in his infinite mercy and in his grace, he seen who you were. I need somebody to help me right here. He knew. You tell others what you want them to know. And they like you or dislike you. But God knows everything about you. What you wouldn't tell of anybody else, God knows about you. And he wants you. He desires you. And so he saves you by
grace.
Everybody in here is saved that way. Verse number 10. For we are his, say it with me, workmanship. Oh, we were saved by grace. It wasn't nothing that we did. Not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. God saved us, but that ain't all he did.
That's right.
See, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto
good works.
You know what? God didn't save you to sit around. I need, somebody better help me. You, well, come on, I don't get mad at me right here, but let's just be honest. You were wicked. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us where that comes from. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men.
That's right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says there's none that seeketh to do good. And yet God in his grace saved all of us.
Amen.
As bad as we was.
Right.
But the Bible says that he did that and then we are his workmanship. In other words, we are his masterpiece.
That's right.
He began a work in you.
Right.
All right. And he has created a work in you, in Christ Jesus, unto good works. You know what that means? God wants you doing something.
Amen.
Oh, I need somebody to help me. There's something in you, if you're saved. God has begun a work in you. But he's done so that you can do good works for him. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
There's too many people that are living on the sidelines. They're okay with just being a part of the team.
Amen.
Everybody okay? I played football, and I was fortunate enough that I got to start. I started my 9th grade year, 10th grade year, right on through my senior year. And there was a lot of people on that football team. There was a lot of guys that were comfortable just standing on the sidelines.
Amen.
I wasn't one of them guys. By the time I got around to my senior year, I can remember they had we had practice and we had the quarterback. They put the quarterback in a black jersey. And he was in this black jersey because we were red and white. And they put him in a black jersey and we weren't supposed to hit him. And anyhow, I played defense. I was a linebacker. And I played defense. And man, I'm real competitive. Like, is everybody all right? Like, I'll trip my kid to win. I need somebody to help me. You know what I'm saying? I like pushing my grandkid out of the way so he can't beat me, okay? And I'm real competitive. And I remember always in practice. And anyhow, they were practicing. The offense was practicing a drill. And the quarterback would drop back, and we couldn't hit him. We'd just run up to him. We couldn't hit him, Jesse. I couldn't do nothing. It was the rules. So I'd run up, and I'd stop in front of me, and he'd just stand back there and throw the ball. They'd catch it, have a touchdown, and then our defensive coach, everybody help me.
Amen.
He punished us. We're down there doing grass drills. And they said, hey, y'all not supposed to give up a touchdown. But I couldn't hit. I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
That worked twice. The third time I come around and he dropped back and he just thought he was going to have all day. And I folded him up like a metal chair. I am not kidding you. I hit him so hard. I put my helmet right up under his chin strap because I was trying to kill him.
Amen.
Everybody all right? I folded him up like a metal chair. We hit the ground, and when we did, I had about 3 or 4 coaches grab a hold of me, and they snatching me up. And I can remember the head coach of the football team comes running out there, and he grabs me by the face mask, and he said, boy, do you want to play quarterback Friday night? I said, yes, sir. I sure do. I can do, is everybody right? I was just, hey, I did not like sitting on the sidelines. doing nothing. And I was ready to do anything. I'd play quarterback. You let me play running back. I played running back my senior year. I did whatever. I played receiver. And the only problem with the receiver is they knew that if I was playing receiver, we were running the ball because I was going to hit somebody. Is everybody right? The point is that some people were fine sitting on the sideline. And then you have some people that really want to be in the game.
That's right. Come on.
But God has created us, listen to me, to be in the game.
Amen.
Not to be sitting on the sideline.
And
so God has saved us and he has began a work in us that we would do these good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, everybody say it with me, walk in them. In other words, these good works, you and I are to walk in them. Now everybody turn over to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, I want you to read verse number 1 with me. And the Bible says this in verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter number 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So, we're saved and we are to walk in good works. Now Paul is telling us in the fourth chapter, in the very first verse, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you, I beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Well, preacher, what would that be? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Look here, verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the, say it with me, edifying of the body of Christ. So God has given us something. We got saved by grace. It wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't any of our works. Our works cannot be included in our salvation.
Amen.
Right? That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Does everybody remember that?
Yep.
It has nothing to do. That's salvation. But after salvation, what? I heard a story Brother Malcolm told, and illustration that he gave. He said a little boy, he was a little old thing, and he was standing up there at the door, and he was jumping up and trying to hit the doorbell. And he was jumping as high as he could, and he was trying to hit the doorbell, and he couldn't hit the doorbell, and there was a preacher walking by. And the preacher was walking by, and of course he wanted to be a help to the boy, so he said, he walks up to the young man, and he says, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to ring the doorbell. And he said, the preacher said, well, I'll help you. It ain't no problem. I can ring the doorbell. And he pushed the doorbell. And he turned around and he said, now what do we do? And the boy said, run. So what's next? Hey, I'm reminded that Jake and Jenny used to live in town. Jake, where are you at? Man, that secret's old, Michelle. Okay. So this secret's old, but anyhow, Jake and Jenny lived in town. And me and Sheldon Hill and Valerie and Michelle used to go by their house every Friday and Saturday night. This is when I didn't have a hernia or hernia surgery. Is everybody all right? And we would go up to the doorbell and knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and then run off. It got so bad that Jake and Jenny what'd y'all get? Y'all got a security system because somebody was bought. Y'all were talking about it.
We got a gun,
whatever. They were buying a security system, and we were like, hey, we better quit, man. We better quit with them. We're going to have them spending money they ain't got to spend. But anyhow, we do that every Friday, Saturday. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
It's all right. The preacher does it, right? So that little boy, he said, what's next? Or the preacher said, what's next? The little boy said, run. So we're going to look at it tonight. What's next? I'm saved. What's next?
That's right.
What do I do now, preacher? I want you to notice, first off, I want you to notice that you and I have gifts. God has gifts that he has delegated to each one of us. I want you to see three things about your gift, and we're going to be done tonight. I'm going to let you out of here, but come back next week, because we're going to talk about the goal. What's the goal of them gifts? Okay, so but tonight we're just going to look at the gifts, and we're going to look at these gifts, and just maybe just for a few moments, I want you to understand that you have a purpose. God saved you not to sit on the sidelines, but to get in the game. Is everybody understanding? Say, preacher, I just don't know where I can fit in. I don't know what I can do. Well, we're going to try to help you. That's what we're here for. That's what Dalton is here for. That's what Miranda and Michelle are here for. We're trying to help you get plugged in, get fitted, if you will, in the puzzle. As we look at this, I want you to notice, first off, the placement of our gift. The placement of our gift. When you look, I want you to take your Bibles and turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I won't have you turn anywhere else tonight, all right? But if you will, take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want you to notice the placement of your gift, all right? And the Bible tells us, I really love to read all the chapter, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to start in verse number 11. The Bible says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I want you to notice, first off, the placement of our gift. It is sovereignly orchestrated. In other words, the gift that you have inside of you and what God has gifted you to do, he gave that to you. Everybody with me? God gave that to you. You don't get to choose. I need somebody to help me. You don't get to choose what gift that you have. But what you do need to know is that God has given you a gift. Look at this. Dividing to who? Dividing to... Y'all say that one word with me. Dividing to
every.
Not some.
That's right.
Not a select few.
That's right.
But the Bible says dividing to
every
man severally as he will. In other words, God has given every single one of us gifts. All right. For some, it's one gift. For some, it's multiple gifts. For some, you couldn't handle more than one gift.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me. And for some, I'll be honest with you, I get a lot of folks that ask me all the time. They say, preacher, how I just don't feel like I got anything to offer. But the truth is that you have more to offer than what you think. And we're going to see this right here in the scripture. The Bible says, but all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We're going to read for a little bit. Stay with me. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, just because you say it's you're not, man, we might need this in today's society. All right? Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Answer the question. No. I mean, you can't say, is it still of the body? Yes, it is. It doesn't matter that it says I'm not the foot or I'm not the hand. It doesn't matter. It's still a part of the body. Right? Verse number 15 or 16? Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, everybody say this with me, as it hath pleased. You know what that means? God gave you a gift, and he has set you in the body of Christ. All right? As it hath pleased. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Man, how awesome is that? God said, I saved you by grace through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? For we are his workmanship, his masterpiece.
Amen.
He's began a work in us as it hath pleased him.
Amen.
In other words, God has designed you perfectly as he wants you to be. Say, well, preacher, I can't stand up and preach, or I can't stand up and teach. That's okay. Not everybody can. But God, hey, is everybody with me still? Your job and your role in the church is just as important as the preacher's. Now, preacher. The preacher, he's the most important piece of the puzzle. Negative. Stay with me. Is everybody with me? All right. Let's look at it. All right. Because you don't believe me. That's why y'all got quiet. The Bible says in verse number 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So the preacher can't say, I don't need you. Hey, I'm going to move on, all right? Is everybody with me? Y'all getting there? It gets better than that. Nay, much more. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are, say it with me, necessary. You mean the ones that ain't teaching? You mean the ones that ain't preaching? You mean the ones whose name ain't over a ministry? Let's just keep on because it gets better. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Who did it? God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to what? To that part which lacked. You know what that means? That means that these people in the church, their name will never be mentioned from the platform, but God has bestowed more honor on them than the preacher standing up preaching.
Amen.
I'll never forget, I read something about Billy Graham. Billy Graham did all these crusades and thousands of people. I mean, Billy Graham had a ministry. God gave, I don't care what you think about Billy Graham, God gave him a ministry and he reached a multitude of people. And they asked Billy Graham, they said this, they said, what do you think your reward is going to be in heaven? And Billy Graham, he said this, I'll never forget, I might quote it wrong, but I'll never forget what he said. He said this, he said, I have gotten my reward here. I have been honored by men. I have been applauded by men. And he says, I have received my reward here. I'll never forget that. In other words, here's what he was saying. I'm in the spotlight.
That's right. Come on.
I get the accolade or I get the praise for this or for that. And so many people are behind the scenes doing the real work.
That's right.
Oh, man, I'm having fun. Y'all ain't got to like it. Let me move on. Verse 25. That there should be no schism and the body. God has done all this. God has given these gifts out, and he has distributed these gifts as it has pleased him. He has given these gifts out, and he's put more honor on the less honorable things, right? Why? That there should be no schism or, here we go, division in the body. In other words, you can't say you're more important than somebody else. But I teach. So? But I preach. So? Because there's somebody out there, I need somebody to help me. Won't never be named, but they are a prayer warrior. And God said, boy, I tell you what. Every time they open their mouth, every time they call out on me, God said, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We see first off the placement of our gift. God has sovereignly orchestrated it. He has given you that gift. He has placed it in you for the purpose of pleasing him. Not only do we see the placement of our gift, but number two, we see the purpose of our gift. The purpose of our gift is so that the church body functions the way that it's supposed to.
Amen.
Amen. We all have a part. The preacher can't do it all. The Sunday school teacher can't do it all. The choir director can't do it all. It doesn't matter. Whatever ministry leader, they cannot do it all. It takes all of us to function. People will say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's wrong. Is everybody all right? God has, somebody help me. We're a part of the body. And God's designed you with a purpose. And that purpose that he has for you to fulfill is to edify the body. And we can't do that if you're not here. And y'all know this, and I've used this illustration 100 times, but I have no mercy. I'm not that guy. Is everybody all right? And as don't get mad at me. Who gave the gifts? Get mad at him. See how that works? I don't have to be shamed by you. I don't have to be made guilty. I haven't made made to feel guilty by you. God gave the gifts. If you got a problem with what God gave me, take it up with him. All right? He didn't give me the gift of mercy. He just didn't do it. So when somebody, you know, if somebody, if you break your leg, I'm the guy that said, well, you shouldn't have done that. I need somebody to help me. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to help me. Y'all talk about Miss Lane. She had her dog. I'm sorry, Miss Lane, but we're going to talk about this. Miss Lane, they had their dogs, and their dog wasn't behaving. And I told Miss Lane, I said, take your belt off and wear that dog's butt out. She was like, Brother Robbie. I'm not that. Is everybody all right? I got 6 dogs. You know what them dogs do when I tell them to do something? I need somebody to help me. They do it. They like my babies. They my youngins. Amen. Is everybody all right? I don't have that gift of mercy. My kids, when something happened to them, they didn't come running to daddy.
Amen.
You know who they ran to? Mama. You know why everybody ran to mama? Because mama has mercy. I need somebody to help me. If God hadn't given Michelle mercy, my kids would be dead. Through God's infinite wisdom, he said, Dalton, Kalen, and Zachary, the only way they're going to make it is if I give Michelle mercy.
Amen.
And so My wife got the mercy, and I didn't. Is everybody with me? Our church is the same way. Our church, about 80-something percent of our church has the gift of mercy. Or at least y'all claim to. Y'all lie about it or whatever. But hey, listen, it's God balancing out the church. Now, if everybody in the church was like me, be a rough church. What you talking about, man? Take it up with God. But God chose to balance this church according to the gifts, and so 80% of the church has mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. God, hey, we all need one another. Does everybody understand? Those parts that we would think are less honorable. For some of you, you're thinking mercy is weak. I need somebody to help me. Hey, some of you in here ain't got the gift of mercy like me, and you're thinking mercy is weak. I need somebody to help. I'm that guy that when we're up 17 touchdowns, I want to score another one. I don't care. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if you're crying all over the football field. I don't care about none of that. Hey, I don't have that. But God has placed each gift in us to please Him. So we have the purpose of our gifts is so that the church can function properly. And it is to fulfill our purpose. Somebody help me. It's to fulfill our purpose. I told you I got 6 dogs. I have 5 that are called German short hair pointers. All right? They're beautiful. All of them, they're beautiful, but they're crazy.
Amen.
Jesse takes care of some of my dogs for me, helps me out. I got another one. He is an English Cocker Spaniel. He's about that tall. And I literally could sick him on your car when you're driving by, and he will try to bring your truck to me. I mean, I can throw him in on an alligator, and he's going to try to bring it back to me. Is that about all right? And these dogs, they serve a purpose. Yours, he runs around the house and yip, 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 and poops all over the floor. Mine serve a purpose. Is everybody all right? I need something. Y'all help me. Is everybody all right? Them dogs, man, they're so fun. I get them puppies, and man, we get them puppies out there in the yard. And if y'all have seen, I've been posting some stuff about the youngest one that I have. He's 6.5 months old, and we've been working on some obedience training and different things like that. And he's doing a tremendous job. But man, there is nothing like turning them dogs loose in the field. Them dogs go crazy. The man, they're running around. They're shaking so bad. I mean, they're just so excited and everything else. And they're pooping all over the place. Outside. Peeing all over the place. I mean, they're so excited and everything else. And they're just running around. They're spastic and all that. And they're running around. And then all of a sudden, they come across a scent of a quail. I need somebody to help me. That dog be running wide open, Brother Junior. I mean, I am not kidding. Dalton, my people that's been hunting with me, Jesse, you not with your dogs, but you've seen it with mine. That dog be running wide open, and as soon as he smells a quail, listen to me. I can't do it. I can't do it because I'll hurt myself. Dalton, come up here and show them how he does it when they run. Come on. Come on. Dalton, come up here. Come here, show him. Show him, son. Boom. That dog say, he's right there. And he'll have that nose up at y'all. I got pictures of that dog sitting there just like that and the quail up under his nose. And him just sitting there. He not moving. Just locked in. He is doing what God has put in him. I don't train that. I don't train that at all. Jesse, we don't go out there and say, now, I want you to point right here. You point right here, I'm going to shock you. No, that ain't how it works.
That's right.
God put that in that dog. And listen to me, if you got a pointer that doesn't point, you got a mutt. Just throwing it out there. Because a pointer will do what God has put in that pointer to do. I told you I could throw that little English Cocker Spaniel on an alligator and he'll bring it back. You know why? He's a retriever. Is everybody all right? That's what he does. He ain't going to go out there. He can run all around them other dogs. They'll point, and he's like, he just comes running right in the middle of it. Birds go flying everywhere. We use him as a flush dog. But as soon as I shoot, boom, and the dirt falls. I'm having fun with Jesse tonight. As soon as the bird falls, you know what that dog does? It's game time now. Hey! If he could say it, this is what he would do. He would, and Jesse, you'll get a kick out of this one, and Dalton too, because y'all know Maverick. But if he could say it, them dogs point, and Maverick comes walking up in there like, oh yeah. Now it's my turn to shine. He busts them birds, you shoot a bird out, and he, I'm telling you, they're going to have a hard time beating him to that bird. And he's going to grab that bird, and he's going to bring it right back to... Why? It's what God put in him.
That's right.
You know, I never taught that dog. Never have taught him to bring something back to me. But that joker will run to me with a ball. I can throw it out there. He'll bring it right back. He'll do it till he dies. I'm telling you. I literally have to stop him from doing it because he'd do it until he had a heat stroke. Why? Because that's what God... That's what God put in him. And so many people are in the church and dying in the church because they're not fulfilling the purpose that God has placed in them.
Amen.
They're sitting on a pew, sitting on a chair. They're not doing what God placed in them. And they're frustrated. They're frustrated with churches. They're frustrated with preaching. They're frustrated with Wednesday night church and Sunday night church and Sunday morning church. And why do we have to come to church? Because you're not doing what God placed in you.
That's right.
I've never woke up and said, you know what? I don't want to go to church.
Amen.
Why? Because I get to do what God has placed in me. I didn't go to the doctor today trying to get an excuse so I can lay out of church and let Dalton or somebody else preach.
That's right. Come on.
Because I'm doing what God has put in me.
That's right.
And when you're doing what God has put in you, you don't have to be begged to go to church. You don't, y'all better help me. Because you're pleasing God through the gift that he has given to you. So I'm done. The process of our gift. What do we have to do? First, we have to discern what our gift is. Preacher, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. We got a spiritual gift assessment. If you have not already done it, we want you to fill it out. How do I find it, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Dalton, tell them how they can find it.
Either on the website or on our app.
So either way. You can get on the app, you can get on the website, you can fill out the spiritual gift assessment, and it goes to Dalton. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Who hasn't filled one out? All right, good. There's hands all over the building. Guess what you need to do? Go to the app, or go to the website, or find Miss Miranda or Michelle. All right. Anyhow, don't ask me how to work the phone. All right. So first off, we got to discern what is our gift. We need to figure out what is your gift. We want to figure out. We want to do this. That's why we're offering this to you. You can do it online. All right. Then what do we got to do? We got to develop it. Right? I need somebody to help me. Let's go back to the bird dogs. I didn't put that gift in them. But you know what I do? I develop it. I hone it. You know why? Because if you put a puppy out there and he points like he's supposed to, if that bird moves, you know what that puppy does? He pounces. I don't want him to. I want him to just stand right there. So I have to develop what God has put in him. See, God put it in him, but then God uses others to develop what he placed in him. And so God uses, man, y'all don't even realize how good this stuff is, but God put something in you and he uses the body of Christ, the church, to develop it, to hone it, all right, to make it better, if you will. It's already in you. Church ain't putting it in you. The church is just helping you develop it. And then, you know what happens after that? We deploy it. Yeah. I mean, once we determine, once we discern it, once we develop it, then it's time to put it to action.
Amen.
So, what's next, preacher? I'm saved. What do I do now? Realize, first off, you got a gift in you. God has given you that gift. And that gift God has given to you to fulfill a purpose. And now we got to put it to work. I need somebody to help me. Next week we're going to go over the goals. How can I get involved? Preacher, what can I do? We'll look at that next week, next Wednesday night. I want you to be here for it. But I want everybody in here to understand. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you're saved in this building, God has put a gift in you for the purpose of pleasing him, for the purpose of edifying or building up the body.
That's right.
So if we all work together,
amen.
We don't know much about pianos. How many of y'all know much about pianos? Y'all can play the piano? Y'all better tighten up. That's all I got to say. Miss Teresa, I wasn't feeling good tonight. Y'all pray for her. But the piano, one thing I learned about a piano is that we had a grand piano here. And now we have these electronic deals. But used to, we had a grand piano. And we had to have it tuned. So this guy comes in. There was only one guy in all of Valdosta area that did it. And he was an older man. And he'd come and he had what they call a tuning fork. And he would tune the piano. And I read something that said this. 100 pianos tuned to the same fork would all play the same way. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I want you to think about it in the church. If we all get together and get tuned to the right fork, think about how sweet the music would be. And I ain't talking about music. I hope you got that. We got to get together. We need each other. If we're going to accomplish what God's doing here, if we're going to accomplish what God's trying to do here,
that's right.
It's going to take all of us.
That's right. Amen.
So tonight, how many of you get around the altar? Thank God, first off, he's given you a gift.
Right.
You may not even know you had one.
Amen.
I come down here and thank him. Hey, God, thank you. He didn't just save you. You are his masterpiece. His workmanship. You got something?
I think I want to thank you for the spiritual class too, because a lot of people don't know what their gift is because they've been forced to be molded into something they're not. Like just like a bird can't go swimming in the ocean and a fish can't live outside of water.
Yeah.
That's good. They don't know so a spiritual gift, like, it is fine because people just want to teach you what's been, like, what worked for them. But you're not them.
That's right.
You're your own person in each body part. So I'm truly grateful for the spiritual class because I do know some things about myself, but I don't know everything.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want to find out if I'm a bird or if I'm a fish.
Amen.
God gave me, not with somebody else.
Amen. That's good, Terry. He'll come. Heads bowed. Come find out. Come and see. Maybe you're in this church and you've been sitting on the sidelines. Come get in the game. Football team, everybody on that football team has a different responsibility. All have the same goal, but every one of them has a different responsibility. They're built different. You can't ask a 365-pound lineman to go out there and play wide receiver. You can ask him to. He gets about 5 steps off the line, he's going to be out of breath. God has gifted you. He's created something in you. If you're in here tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, "Preacher, I want to go back to what you started with. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Maybe tonight you sitting here and say, "Preacher, I've tried to do good. I've tried to be a good person. Preacher, I thought that was good enough with God." Salvation is a gift from God. There's nothing you can do. There's no money that you can pay. Joining the choir, joining the church, getting baptized, joining a Sunday school class, teaching a Sunday school. No. That not of yourselves. Just gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. If you be honest tonight and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved." Why don't you just lift your hand up? That's all I'm asking you to do. Just lift it up. "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved." Is there anybody like that anywhere in the building? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else will be honest with me tonight. I remember September 28, 1997, I was you. Preacher asked me that same question. I remember. As I sat there in a crowd just like this, I had to be honest with myself and say, "I'm not sure that I'm saved." But the preacher gave me an invitation. And he said that if you would like to be saved, he said somebody can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Not what a denomination says, not what a program says, but what the Word of God says. I remember I got up. I walked down to the front. A man took a Bible and he showed me how I could be saved. We'd like to do the same with you tonight. If you raise your hand, I want you to know I'm not asking you to do anything I didn't do. But I want you to know God will take you just as you are. I was a rough character. A drunk. Liked a party. Living a life. I really was living a life of hypocrisy. I knew how to put on the face when I went to church. But my real life said I was nothing like a Christian. I don't expect you were that, but I do know what it feels to not know if you're saved. Tonight, if you'll let us, I want you to come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. You can lay your head down on a pillow tonight and know where you'll spend eternity. Not because of what the preacher said or what the church said, but because of what God said. If you let us do that, won't you come? Your choice, not embarrass you. Won't you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. God, I'm thankful for a Wednesday night. Thankful for a church that loves you, that worships you. Thankful for a place in the middle of the week where we can come and be challenged, where we can come and be encouraged. Lord, as we walk into so many changes, Lord, I pray that you would lead us, Lord, you'd guide us. Lord, that you would, well, I hate to even ask for this, Lord, because I know you have provided the people to accomplish, Lord, what you've set out to do. God, I pray in Jesus' name some folks in this building that get a hold of their value and realize, God, you want to do something special and want them to be a part of it. Lord, I pray that you'd help that one raise their hand tonight needing to be saved. God, if I could, I'd make them come just because I know the outcome of not coming. But Lord, I trust that you'll continue to work, continue to convict their heart. And I pray, Lord, today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to end with something. One of Ripley's, believe it or not, items pictured a plain bar of iron worth $5. Same bar of iron, if made into a horseshoes, would be worth $50. If it were made into needles, it would be worth $5,000. But if that same bar was made into balance springs for the fine Swiss watches, it would be worth $500,000. The raw material is not as important as how it's developed.